Joshua chapter 6 this morning. We're going to see now that the children of Israel had been given a new leader. Moses has died, and we see that Aaron has died. And now Joshua, if you remember, Joshua and Caleb were the two that came back with a good report from the promised land that God had given the children. They were in the minority. The other 10 that were there that we don't remember their names, though they're listed there in Numbers chapter 13. In the first part of the chapter, it tells us who they were. But we don't remember them because they were the majority of unbelievers, that they could be victorious. And let me tell you, we need to be in the minority of being victorious through God and just trust Him. But we see that Joshua and Caleb were blessed, that they outlived those that were up of age, that had to die in the wilderness because of their unbelief. But Joshua and Caleb got to come on and go into the promised land because they had a good report. And we see now Joshua is the leader of the people, and God has given him his marching orders now per se, what he needs to do as he comes to the city of Jericho. Now Jericho was a city there with walls. It was fortified where they could close it up. Nobody was going in, nobody was coming out, and they were afraid of the children of Israel as they were coming up, and they had shut up the city. That's where we start in the first part of chapter 6, and we're going to see that God give Joshua some specific orders on how to be victorious over Jericho. And in our life today, we've got some Jerichos that's out there that seem to be high-walled, fortified cities. But let me tell you, God can tear down the walls that we can go through and be victorious and be able to overcome. But we've got to be obedient down to what His Word tells us, not wavering one way or the other, but do exactly as God has instructed us to do. And that's something we have failed in America, and we see the things that are happening. We have failed to follow the letter of God's Word to do the things that a Christian nation ought to be doing. It's supposed to be representing Christ. And we need to get back to the heart of worship, as the song we was talking about. We need to get back to the heart of loving God. We need to get back to the heart of service to God. We need to get back to the heart of listening to God and being obedient to the voice from heaven, not all the voices that are speaking to us upon this earth today, because all of them are not of God. And we need to listen to those voices. Get back to the heart of worship. Now in chapter 6 of Joshua in verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Kind of reminds me of the church today. There ain't many coming in, ain't many going out. We just kind of staying where we're at. We're not inviting people in because we got the doors shut up. We don't want outsiders coming in. I'm glad it ain't the case here, but in a lot of places today, people don't feel welcome in church, so you might as well have the doors closed because it's a place that nobody wants to go to because it's so stale, because it's so dying, because it's so dead that you don't want to be part of it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be around a decaying carcass laying there very long. The smell's not good. The flies are not good to be around. And let me tell you, I don't want to be around something that's dead. I want to be around something that's got some life to it. I want to be around something that's got some movement about it. And I thank God that we can feel God move in our heart, that we can feel God move in our presence, that we can feel Him move and stir us, that we can praise Him, that we can get back to the heart of worship. It's Him and only Him that needs to be praised. But we see now that the city was afraid, so they had shut the doors and wasn't going to let the children of Israel in because they were afraid of them. And very rightly so, they should have been, because Israel was God's chosen people at this time. They had a special blessing on their life, and when they were obedient to God, nothing could prevail against them. The gates of hell couldn't even prevail against the children of Israel when they were obedient to God and listening and following God's leadership. Nothing could defeat them. But many times their disobedience came in their way. But they were always the one that got in their own way of blessings. And it's like we are. I get in the way of God being able to bless me. We all do. From time to time, when we get in God's way, that we can't allow Him to bless us because we get in His way. We worry and fret, and I know we shouldn't. We do. We worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. We do. We're human. Let's turn it over to God, and it's something I struggle with, you struggle with. We all struggle with it at some point in time. We have to surrender it to God and not take those worries and carry them on our own. Give them to God. We worry with people. We worry with a situation and all these things, but we just need to turn it over to God and ask Him to help us. And not shut up our cities, but be willing to listen to God. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He's trying to encourage Joshua, saying, Listen, it's already yours, but I'm going to give you some stipulations. As long as you follow them, you're going to have it. You're going to obtain it. And you shall compass the city and all the men of war and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. He didn't say do it for 5.5. He didn't say do it for 4. He didn't say get in 4 10-hour days and take off on Friday and Saturday. What he said was, I want you to compass the city one time for 6 days. He gave them specific things that they had to do. And these marching orders that they had, they were to go with the 7 priests with the ram's horns. They were going to be blowing those. The Ark of the Covenant was going, and the people were to march, and they were to stay silent. They were to stay silent. Some of us couldn't have made it in that camp. We couldn't have marched from our camp to Jericho around the wall and went back. We'd have been complaining. Lord, my feet's starting to hurt. It's Joshua. He's crazy. We're going to do this for 6 days. And we got to be silent. I can just hear it in the camp now, all night long. I don't know if we can do it. I don't know if we can do it. I just don't see how this is going to work. That's all right. We don't have to see how it's going to work. God said it's going to work. It's going to work. God told the bumblebee to fly, and it flies. Engineers say it can't. That's all right. Bumblebee just believed God, didn't he? He's still flying. I don't know how a cow can eat green grass and give white milk. He does. Or she does. He don't. She does. My uncle one time told me we get chocolate milk from chocolate cows. I don't believe he was hardly right on that one. But I was real young. He was a milkman. He'd go around and pick up a milk and said they got chocolate milk from chocolate cows. I never did see any of them. I kept watching for them, but my Aunt Margie never brought it in whenever she'd milk the cows and bring it in the house. Has none. Had a lot of Rialler on top of it now. A lot of that cream on there. Y'all remember that? Milking your cows and all that cream would be on top and you'd skim it off. I know. My Aunt Margie used to do that. Bless her heart. That was some of the best milk. Now I probably couldn't drink it at all. Got used to this watered down version they sell in the store. But he'd give them the mighty men of valor in the city of Jericho. He'd gave them the blessings here, and he's telling Joshua, say, look, just be obedient. You take the people and you set them in order and you march around the city 6 times. No doubt they was a marching along, and the closer they'd get to the city, the higher them walls would get. But they just kept on marching. They'd go around that city and make the trip, and they'd go back home. I think with that marching, God knew he was testing their obedience. They was walking around the foundation of that city. That many people marching there in file and order, loosening up the ground all the time. God knew exactly what he was doing. He said, you just be obedient. We'll loosen up the ground. You think, well, that ought to pack it. Well, when God's working, what you think would work one way works another. But God was in charge of it all, and he said, you go march. March around the city 6 times. And on the and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. I wish I could find me one. I wanted to find me one of them horns one time and be able to blow it. I know you're all thinking, yeah, it'd be a loud noise if he blowed it. But if we blowed those ram horns, and we had 7 of them, and they blow those horns, what a noise that would be. That would instill fear into the people that's in Jericho to hear such a racket going on outside the city. Now we do it, and they use rock and roll music. I knew that stuff wasn't no good. They blasted at our enemies, trying to drive them crazy. Our kids blasted in their cars, driving their parents crazy. Kids, you shouldn't hear you coming down the road with your bass a-thumping before you ever get in sight. That's not good for you. That's not good for you. You end up running for Congress and Senate, places like that. Melt your brain. But the noise instill fear into their enemies. We're still doing those things today. But to blow on the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat people shall ascend up every man straightway or straightly, straight before him. Now, most of the time when a wall falls, it don't fall straight down that you just go in without having to walk over a bunch of rubble and things. But God taking care of that. 6 days before, they're going to be marching around the city. One trip around, preparing the ground, their obedience to God showing. And on that seventh day, on the seventh trip, they're going to blow the ram's horns and all the people are going to shout with a great shout. God done created a weapon that no man's building could withstand. And he's given Joshua the plan. He didn't say go in there with a battering ram. He didn't say go in there and put C4 around the foundation. He didn't say go in there and tunnel out that it would fall. He just said be obedient and march. Be obedient and march. They didn't have to have clubs. They didn't have to have hammers. They didn't have to have anything except just God. And go forward in obedience to God. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Now see, Joshua didn't take it unto himself, say, well, 7's good enough. Let's send 14. That'll even do a better job. How many did he send? He put 7. He sent 7 before the ark of the covenant. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets. And the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Now, I don't know about you, but storing up 7 days worth of talking, that's going to, people were well rested in their voices. And whenever they was going to be able to let it out, they were going to make a noise like hadn't never been heard before. But they were going to be obedient. And God was going to give them a city. God was going to give them the spoils thereof to be able to put into the treasury of God, but he's going to tell them not to take of the accursed things. He's given us a city. He's given us a place to worship, but he's telling us as his people not to take of the accursed things of this world, to be a separate people, not allowing the things of this world to tarnish us, not to take of the precious garments that may be considered so valuable, or the values of this world that may some people think are the very thing that we need to have, but to have the values of God and have the valuables of God. To have salvation through Jesus Christ, that when we shout with a shout that it's heard in heaven from here on earth, the praises of God, and we lift up our voices, that it's a voice of praise that we return to the heart of worship. God is mighty to save. Those that are lost, he is mighty still to save if they'll heed his word and they will surrender their heart to him. We need to be much in prayer. We've had some here lately that have raised their hands and said they were lost, that need to be saved. We need to pray that they're shouting heard in heaven from those that are rejoicing over one being saved and rejoicing going on in heaven over one being saved, getting ready that the walls of this world are being broke down and that hearts are being built up for God. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest alone going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. They listened to exactly what Joshua had told them, who had got it exactly from God, what to do. And they were carrying it out. Their obedience being tested. Our obedience is tested. Satan tests us from time to time. He'll go before the throne room of God and say, yeah, they're listening to you because they got everything ever promised. They don't have no hardships. They don't have no heartaches. Of course, they're going to follow you, but let me test you a little bit. You say, oh, preacher, that don't happen. May I remind you of the book of Job, what took place. Satan still has the authority to be able to go into God's throne room and request of you to be tempted. And let me tell you, he's doing it every day. Multiple times a day, he's calling our names. And when we get tested and when we come out shining on the other side as a child of God, Satan gets another black eye. So let me tell you, don't give in to Satan. Hold on to God. Give Satan another black eye and keep beating that devil back down to where he belongs. God's already victorious over that rascal, and you can have it in your life too. You can have victory, but you got to obey God. And Joshua rose early, we just read that. And they went on, they done this for 6 days, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. They had a journey to make that day. They were obedient. It says they rose up early at the dawning of the day here. They got up and got about their business. This reminds me on the third day, early in the morning. They went down to see where Jesus had been laying, taking the things for his embalming service to preserve the body. When they got there, the stone had been rolled back. Because they had just had the discussion. Wonder who's going to be able to roll that stone back so we can get in. You know, there the ladies were going down, trying to figure out how they was going to get in to adorn the body. I'm glad he already got out so they could see he had already went home. I'm glad that he got out so they could see that he is making preparation to ascend back to the Father. I'm glad that he got out so man could see that he done just what he said he would do, but it was early in the morning. He got on about the work that God had intended for his son to do. Many times we slumber and slip to the late hours of the day before we try to rise to get started for the work of God, to the point when the work may be far past us, but we still have it to do. We need to be on the job for God, marching, being obedient, ready to blow on the ram's horn if we're one of the priests marching forward, ready to take the staves of the Ark of the Covenant and carry it forward, ready to get down on our knees and pray, to be ready to shout with a shout that can be heard in heaven, that would be pleasing unto God. Be ready to shed a tear, to share a smile, whatever it might be that God is asking us to do. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers he sent. And listen, here again we see a lady that was in the minority. Whenever they went into the city and spied it out, she hid the two spies. She saw that there was something about this people, that they were different, that they were blessed of God. And she hid the spies and made way that they could escape the city and not be hurt. And by that, she was promised that all that were in her house and that were with her would be saved. I thank God that once we accept Jesus as our Savior, let me tell you, not only can you be saved, but thank God the rest of your house can be, because you'll get to praying for them, you'll get to witnessing to them, you'll get to sharing the Word of God, and someone's going to hear it. God's not just going to save you and put you in the middle of a lost family and leave you there by yourself. He's going to start convicting others and bring them in as well. And you may be the very one. Be the mouthpiece for God right there, which you might think sometimes is a bad situation. Just hold on to God, because he's going to blow the horns and the shout's going to go up and the walls of their hearts are going to come down, and God's going to be able to enter in and save those souls. Change them from head to toe, but most importantly, change them from inside out, that they'll be completely different. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Let me tell you, we can't bring sin into the church. We have to leave it on the outside. We can't bring in personal feelings. We have to leave them on the outside. What we have to do is come into service to God. I've seen churches that have been just destroyed because personal feelings were brought in. Our family's been in this church for 30 years. We've had it our way, and we're going to keep on. And that was all that was left in the church. It was their family, and that was all that was keeping it going on. And as they kept dying off, the church kept dying and dying and dying. Didn't want no outsiders coming in and having any part. Let me tell you, I want everybody coming into the house of God. There ain't no outsiders when it comes to God's house. Thank God we all ought to be insiders. We ought to be inside God's family, and we ought to be inside His house whenever the doors are open. We ought to be worshiping, praising Him, and be considered a family together. And not look at people as being outsiders. Just think of them as brothers and sisters we've not met. Part of God's family. But then let me tell you, there are some things that's out there that's accursed that we don't need to let in God's house. We don't need to let in God's house. The pagan practices, we don't need to let them in God's house. God said, stay away from those things. He said, worship me and me alone. He is a jealous God, and He is the only one to be praised, the only one to be worshipped. Not to bring in the accursed things. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. He made it plain and simple here what they were to do with the spoils of the city. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Can you just imagine? Now, I've not never been to any cities that's had walls completely around them. But I could you imagine going down there to Winston-Salem, maybe? That's the closest thing I know is a city with any real tall buildings that I'm going to use. Go down there maybe around the Wachovia building or whatever it's called now. It's probably changed names by now. Anyway, that's what I remember it as. Probably the Wells Fargo building now or something else. Anyhow, you start marching around that city or around that building. All of us go down there, start marching around that thing. They'd probably come and arrest us, first of all. We didn't have a proper permit to have a line of people walking on the sidewalk or something. Anyhow, we're walking around the city. And they do that for 6 days, and on the seventh day we're walking around. And on the seventh time the horn blows and everybody shouts, and that building just goes right down in the ground. I don't know about y'all, but boy, that would just amaze me. He'd have to tell me to go on into the city and do what I need to do, because I'd probably be standing there going, I can't believe it. But it said every man went in straightway. Right where the wall fell down, they were just to walk into the city. They didn't fall out flat this way. It went down this way. You see, they was preparing the ground as they was walking around it. They was softening it up. And whenever the horn blowed and the people shouted, God just took His hand, put on top of the wall, and pushed him down. He said, go on in. Go on in. If they'd have fell out this way, they'd have been killed. But He says it didn't happen that way. He said they went down flat. And the people went in. Right before them. They didn't retreat and have to run back. They went in right at the point where they were at the time. Right in to the city. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as she sware unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They brought them out, but they set them apart. They set them apart. Though they had helped them, though Rahab had helped the spies, still yet they set them outside the city, apart from where they was at in their camp. If you remember, God told them when they went in to destroy everything. But here these people had to give help to God's people and were spared. If Israel had done all that they were supposed to when they went in to possess the land, we wouldn't have some of the problems that's going on over there now. But instead of doing what God instructed them to, they mixed with their pagan ways and brought it into Israel and brought judgment upon Israel. America has done the same things. We've let pagan ways come into practices in our homes, in our churches, in our land, and we have allowed them to go on till we become guilty of these things happening. And you say, well, now I don't allow those things to go on, but if we didn't stand against it, if we didn't publicly say that's wrong, and we've allowed it to go on, and we've sat in silence and said nothing, we are guilty. We are guilty, and we need to ask God to help us to repent of those times and make a stand on God's Word and tell those that are wrong what God's Word says, not in a fighting manner, in a loving manner. This is what God has said. And as long as we allow things to happen that is unpleasing to God, we're going to have consequences here in America. We're going to have consequences in our families. We'll have consequences in our church if we allow things to go on that's not of God. We'll have consequences. I don't want the consequences to cause us not to be blessed. I don't want the things in our works to be burnt with fire and them not last. I want them to be done for God and for His glory. I want Him to be the one that gets the praise. I don't want our works to be tried by fire and them come out as just ash. I want them to be pure gold that we can lay back at Jesus' feet. Excuse me. But we see the city here. They went in, they burnt the city. They took of the silver and the gold and the vessels that were consecrated, the brass, and put them into the treasury of the Lord. And it says in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive with her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent in to spy out Jericho. She got a perpetual blessing that a lineage of her people still are there to this day. And God's word said it. So there's still a remnant there of Rahab and what she did. There's still a remnant of the people of Israel that were obedient. There's still a remnant today of people that are looking for a Messiah for Israel to come. They will see Him one day. I wish they could see Him now. I wish they could see Him as their leader. I wish they could take time to not look for the Messiah, that the two parallel prophecies that were there. I wish they could realize the first one of Him coming as a babe and not just the second one as a mighty leader. I wish they could humble their hearts, but they have hardened their hearts off to that concept. God said that one day they're going to have a mighty king, and they're going to come under His rule, and they're going to see Him. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof upon his firstborn and his younger, and shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Not only did Jericho know about Joshua, but the land and country around there had heard of what God had done for the people of Israel there and the battle that had taken place. And God blessed them. And we know if we go on over and read in the next battle of Ai that there was defeat that happened. Why? Because someone was disobedient. One person disobedient in the camp. Let me tell you, when there's sin in the camp, we can't have blessings. When there's sin in the camp, God won't bless us. We have to surrender all sin. We have to put all things upon the altar. We have to repent of all things that might hinder us from being obedient to God and being victorious. Any sins that we might have, we need to lay those down daily and ask God. We don't just need to bring them on Wednesday night. We don't need to just bring them on Sunday morning. But daily repent of our failures. And only you and God know them. What God's asking you to do, you know that you've not accomplished. And what God's told you not to do and that you have done, you know that as well. We need to lay those up on the altar of God and ask for help. Ask for strength. Repent of those things that sin is not found in the camp. Ask yourself the question, if every church member was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Sometimes that answer is not pleasing to us. Sometimes it's not pleasing to me. But I'm still in this body of flesh, just like you are. Susceptible to the things of this world to bother us. But I thank God that I've got one that's greater. I've got one that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-strength, that will help us through those situations. We don't have to go through them alone. Joshua and the children of Israel weren't alone. They may have not understood fully what was going to happen, but they knew God was giving marching orders and it was time to get to business for God. They had a desire to carry out His work. Do we have a desire, church, to carry out the work of God? To carry out that work of God today? We need to have a desire. I pray that you do. Friend, if you're here and you're lost, I pray that you would find a desire to get to know God as your Savior. That you would ask Him to come in. That He can tear down the walls of a stony heart and rebuild it as a soft heart that can be penetrated by the Word of God, that can be filled with His Spirit, that He can come in and live and set up house inside this tabernacle. There's room in this tabernacle for God. Will you make room and let Him come through the door of your heart into the tabernacle that God wants to inhabit? Will you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart into salvation? It's that simple. Believe that Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary and died for you that your sins might be forgiven. And He said if you would call on His name, that you shall be saved. Not maybe so, think so, wait till the preacher tells you so. He said thou shalt be saved. It's a personal thing that you have to work out with God. Mine, it was just easy enough to believe that if I make that move and ask God to forgive me, I know He died for me. I know He went to the cross of Calvary to save me. And all I know left to do is to go and ask Him to come into my heart and tell everybody that I believe Jesus and trust Him as my Savior. That's all I know to do. I don't have to see no great big beams of light coming and hitting me or nobody thumping me on the head or anything else. All I know to do is just trust God. And whenever I decided to trust Him, it was a whole different world. A whole different world. Friend, He'll do the same for you. I'm not going to tell you you're going to see a light, but the light's going to change colors. Where you saw gloom and doom, you're going to see possibility. Where you saw no way out, you're going to see that God's going to provide a way out. Because He always has. And He always will. But your only way to leave this world and be able to go to heaven is through Jesus. As Brother Dale gets a song prepared as we stand to our feet. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Church, be praying for those that are lost, that they'll surrender their heart to you, to God. That you'll surrender your heart to God. Pray that they'll receive what you have. Pray earnestly that none will die and go to hell. Pray that God's conviction would be so strong they can't leave this place today in that condition. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Him as your Savior, and you're lost and undone without Jesus, would you just lift your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, preacher. I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. I know I need a Savior. Lift it up high so I can see. And I'll be glad to pray for you. I'd rather pray with you up here in the altar if you'll come. But I'm going to pray for you that God will increase your faith. God will increase your strength. God will increase and strengthen your unbelief to trust Him. Will you raise your hand this morning? Will you raise your hand? God already knows and you know. I just want to help you pray. I just want to help you pray. Do you feel God knocking at your heart's door this morning? Does it feel like your heart's about to beat out of your chest this morning? That's God's conviction. He's wanting to save you. Will you come? Will you raise your hand? Will you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Church, maybe you've got a need this morning. Just say, preacher, I just need you to help me pray. I don't have to know what it is. God already knows. Preacher, I just got a need. I want you to help me pray about it. God bless that hand. There'll be others. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. There'll be others. God bless that hand. Preacher, I just got a need. I want you to help me pray about it. Will you help me pray? I'll be glad to. Would you just like to come to the altar this morning? Just come to the altar and lay your burdens upon it. Pour your heart out before the Father. He'll listen. His ear is not dull of hearing. His heart is not too heavy that He can't hear your prayers. He's not too busy that He can't listen. Will you come this morning? It's level at the foot of the cross. Will you come? Will you come?